we're to turn our attention to Jesus Christ. Couldn't pass that one up, Brandon. God is good. I believe God has a sense of humor, don't you? Because he created you and me. I believe he wants us as Christians to be happy. I think he wants us to be joyful. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to have life. He said he's come that we might have life, we might have it abundantly. And one of the things that's powerful is to see somebody going through hard times, but yet they're joyful. Jesus was continually joyful, yet he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Well, we do appreciate being here, and we do appreciate when you give us a gift. We are grateful for anything that God gives us. We look to the Lord, though, not humans. Since we resigned our ministry and pastoring a year ago, be April 17th this month, that at that point we were cut off from a lot of our income because the church didn't give us a salary. Haven't really probably believed too much in that. Because if you do get that, then you're going to be tied in with the government and have to go through all the stuff. But they did give us a housing allowance and mileage allowance and covered utilities. But it's been interesting to see how God has just continued to sustain us. Like my wife has said, we can't live off our little Social Security check. You know, it helps, but you might want some food and gas and some other things. But God is all you need. But sometimes it takes a while before we get to the point where he's all we want. Because we always want. A lot of churches have what I call prop-up ministries. And many times we want something other than God. We want this or that. And we get ourselves into trouble. Because God wants to be all and in all. Well, we've been going through the book of Revelation, so to say. I started off the first night, Friday night, sharing about the Antichrist, and that's the reason I'm doing this. I'm not that interested in prophecy. Like I said, I haven't really done much with it for 35 years. I did go through our church back in 2017 on the book of Revelation, but the reason I'm doing it is because of our situation that we're in. We're set up for some really bad times. And I've got information and things, and I research and I watch. I don't watch the main news and that kind of stuff. We know, unless you want to know the opposite of what's going on. But our country has learned to just bypass our Constitution. And these people are making up rules. And now they've learned, and who knows what this whole thing on the pandemic is, a staged thing, because we know that they want to eliminate the population of the world, these world controllers. They want to get it down, I've heard, to like 500,000. And that's why we've got all kinds of resources that they want to shut off because they want to save it. But anyway, there is a strong, strong movement of anti-Christ and anti-Christianity moving in our country. And overnight, they can just make their rules and things. You know, we've got our Constitution that protects us, but they're not following it. So I wanted to go through this just to help us understand that things could turn bad overnight. Now, I've got behind me some towels, and I've thrown these up. These represent a timeline. Starting over here, this would be, the gray one would be Genesis, the beginning of things. And you come all the way down to the cross. The Tamlin right behind me would be where Christ came into the world, lived his 33 years, and then was crucified, buried, and rose again. Then you go in through that space of time, which we call the church age. And so if the church age is from there to the striped, at the striped point is where we could be before the day is over, where Christ could come back and take the church out. Then we go into the next period of time, which we call the tribulation, which is 7 years up to the second coming of Christ at the brown tile, when the millennial reign will come in and there will be 1,000 years of Christ ruling. At the end, we have the great white throne judgment. I meant to bring these up earlier, but I've got them up now anyway. Now, some of you have your outlines that I passed out the other night, and it's just a basic outline. And the time the book of Revelation goes through, it just covers the past. That's what the first chapter is about. Chapter 1 covers the past, and then chapter 2 and 3 covers the past with the churches which Revelation was addressed to. And you had those seven churches. And last night I went through one of those in detail. That was Ephesians, the Ephesian church. A lot was connected with that since Ephesus was a major place in the world in those days. And so the future starts in chapter 4 of Revelation. And we many believe, and I do too, that chapter 4, because from 4 on the church is not mentioned anymore. In those first three chapters, you got about 19 references to the church. So that's the thing that people are wondering about. What about the future? And so 4 through 19 of Revelation covers a lot of different things. There are about 14 things there. You have starting off in 4 and 5, and I'm going to come back and go through this. Actually, what I'm going to attempt to do this morning is go through the book of Revelation, just a survey through it. And again, the only reason I'm doing this is because there's a lot of ignorance of what's going on around. And since there's a strong move of anti-Christians going on, we could see things happening before Christ comes back. And so you have the throne judgments in 4 and 5, the seal judgments in chapter 6. And then chapter 7 is 144,000. And then the trumpet judgment is three major judgments that are in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. You have seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and bowl judgments. If I could have found a seal, I could have stuck a seal up here. But those three judgments are the main thing where God's going to pour out his wrath on this world. And so then you have in chapter 8 and 9, you have the second set of judgments, the trumpet judgments. So chapters 6 is the seal judgments, 8 and 9 is the trumpet judgments. Then we have things in between, details that are thrown in. And you have the little book in chapter 10, the two witnesses in 11, the woman and the dragon 12, and then the two beasts in 13, where you get into the Antichrist pretty heavy. Then 14, the 144,000, and then 15, the preparation for the last judgments, then the bowl judgments, 16, ecclesiastical Babylon in chapter 17, which is actually talking about the one world religion, which a lot of churches are already getting into going that direction. I've gone to two meetings, one in two different communities and areas where it was an ecumenical meeting. You had all the different pastors. And the first one, I just literally felt physically sick. And then the second one, the same sick feelings. I'm not going to go into any of these anymore. And the basic thing is the one world religious head wants to get everybody involved. And so you're going to have all the religions coming together. And the 18 is the political Babylon. 19 is the second coming of Christ. And then 20 is the millennial reign. And then 21 through 22 is the eternal state. So that is a quick run over on it. So going to Revelation, I'm going to talk quite a bit to get us in this. And this will probably be this morning's session. And if I don't finish, then I'll finish tonight, my last message. If I do finish, then I will take one of the sections, probably the section on the Antichrist, and give more details. Because I've got some information. In here, I've got one thing from a man that spoke at Hillsdale college who was just really popular and really good in the area, just getting on to them about what was going on with this pandemic and the controlling people. And so he has just been hit. So let's pray. Dear Father, I just ask for the mercy of God and the Holy Spirit to lead and direct us. It's a huge task to try to cover a whole book, and we've already had some preparation this weekend, some Friday night and yesterday with the messages now. And we're supposed to get a blessing. It might be hard to get a blessing out of something that looks so horrible, but at least we should have the blessing that you have made a way for us to escape this 7-year tribulation period by trusting Christ as our Savior. And so if there's anyone here that has not yet repented of their sins and trusted the blood of Christ for their salvation and their soul's safekeeping, that they would do it now. Or anyone watching on a video or listening to a CD, we just pray that you would have mercy upon any lost souls that would hear this message. Now we ask you to help us to understand this. Especially help me, Father, to try to explain something I really haven't been into for mostly 35 years. But, Father, I sense that the time could be very short, the days could be very dangerous, as laws could be made and put together overnight to bring persecution against the church. So we thank you that we reign with Christ, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, that we are overcomers in Christ. And so we rejoice and we thank you for all the blessings we have in Christ. Now we ask you to bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The first part, I'm going to just say several different things to sort of get you tuned in to this book, and then I'll briefly go over it again, and then we'll go into it. But this is the revelation of God to John. We've covered chapters 1 through 3 pretty much in detail, except for going through the seven churches. I just did Ephesus. But Revelation 4 and 5 is the preparation for what's coming and the judgments, as I've mentioned. And I'll be repeating the judgments of the tribulation period will be 6 through 18. Chapter 6 through 18 is the heart of the bad stuff. And the return of Christ in at chapter 19, a lot of things happen right then where Christ comes back there at the point of the second coming, which would be the brown towel up there. So at that point, you have also the binding of Satan at the beginning of the thousand-year reign, where the brown towel goes to the white throne judgment there. And 21 through 22 from the great white throne judgment is the eternal state. The theme of the book is Jesus Christ. He's the main subject, even though the Antichrist has a lot of prominence in there. But this book is a revelation that Jesus gave, and I went through how the chain of command comes from the Father through Christ, John the Baptist, to the servants on down. And John received it on the Isle of Patmos. And so it opens up with a scene in heaven in chapter 4 where we see God the Father on the throne, and his hand is a scroll, which is believed to be the title deed of the earth. And there's a lot of details. Like in verse 8, you have these beasts, and this, I've already sort of explained a little bit about symbolism, so I won't cover that again because I've got a lot to cover this morning. But in any way, in Genesis 1, Adam had the title deed of the earth, and he gave it away when they had this deal with Satan. And so because of Adam and Eve's sin, the earth now and its creatures, we've all been conquered. And in order to redeem the earth, God had this plan before the foundation of the world. He knew this was going to happen, to restore righteousness, and this is where Jesus Christ comes back on the earth. He dies on the cross for our sins and offers eternal life. Whoever will receive it, receive Christ as their Savior with a spirit of repentance And so Christ died. 40 days later, he left the earth and he sent back the Holy Spirit. And you have the book of Acts with all the history there. So Revelation 4 and 5 is going to be focusing on God and Jesus Christ. And as you go through there, it becomes pretty hard to distinguish who's who because they're both the same. It's really interesting. Good for Jehovah Witnesses to a Bible study on the deity of Christ. And so this book really is probably laid out chronologically. It's organized, and the seven seals starts off, and we have all these things. Each seal that Jesus opens represents a judgment. And so these three main seals, the seal are judgments, the seal and the trumpets and the bowls, are detailed out in this book, and it's not going to be a nice time. And so the judgments of the book of Revelation 6 through 18 describe this seven-year time of tribulation on this earth, where after the church is raptured, if we've got this figured out right, there's four different views on this. And the thing I appreciate about the study that I had and the teaching that I had, and my teacher sat under some of the main Bible teachers like Walford, and you had Timothy LaHaye, and you got Dr. Jeremiah, all teaching the same thing. It's because when Dwight Pentecost has a book called Things to Come, and I've studied out of that. That was a text, main text, because they cover all the views, and they go through each one, showing the weaknesses, and so it's good. If you got a, oh, well, I see why this one didn't work, and I see why this one doesn't work, and this one, and this is why I believe that this one is the right one. But in case we were wrong, and we go into the tribulation, you're going to begin to recognize some of these things and these judgments. You're going to see like a third of the men destroyed in the world. It's going to be some bad times. So anyway, and a lot of details are given in Daniel 9:24-27 and Matthew 24:3-31. There's a lot more details given in other parts of the Bible. So the first 3.5 years are going to be seemingly the tribulation period there, starting with the striped towel. The first 3.5 years are going to be a time of real peace where the Antichrist sets up and takes over and solves all the problems. He'll solve your financial problems, yeah. And we got a peace, just really peace. Everything is peaceful. But at that time, God is pouring out these sealed judgments on the earth. And so in order to make it through that, you're going to have Christ as your Savior, because there's going to be a requirement to get a vaccination. Huh? Get some kind of mark if you want to buy groceries, if you want to get a passport and whatever. Could we be looking at some preliminary testing and controlling? It's possible. It's possible. And so these seals and these trumpets and these bowl judgments are sort of a picture of what's coming. In 6:1, the seven seals, the seal judgments have seven parts to it. The first six represent what happens during the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And then they take us up to the midpoint of the tribulation when things are going to really change. And so Revelation 6 through 8 goes through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. If I'd had something, I could have marked the middle there. But I didn't. So that's what's going on. When you get to the seventh seal, the seventh seal, you got the seal judgment, the seventh one, the trumpet judgments come out of that one. And on the seventh one of the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments come out of that. Between the sixth and the seventh, though, in each of these, there's a pause and more details are given. And it's a little bit complicated, and to go through just a survey, I'm more of a detail guy, is a little bit hard on me. But I did do some details before we got to today. So when you get to chapter 8, And when we go through, and I'm going to come back again and go through this, when you get to chapter 8, the seventh seal is opened and the seven trumpets begin. That's the middle of the tribulation. And when God starts these judgments, there's silence in heaven for a half hour. Then he's going to really pour it on. And at the beginning of the tribulation period, Satan is somehow going to make a covenant with Israel. And they've got, and he's going to break this covenant in the middle in terrible persecution. So during this time, God is pouring out judgments, and Satan is pouring out judgments on believers. And I believe we're getting set up for that. And things prophetically can happen very fast. Just overnight, our whole world can change. Just overnight. And so that's sort of what's going on here. The second half of the tribulation will be characterized by the seven trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. And they're going to be devastating judgments that God pours out because he's shutting down this show here. So 8 through 10 is going to go through those things. The seven bowl judgments are poured out in chapters 15 and 16. And don't worry if you can't grasp all of this. Just giving you an overview. And this is, a lot of it's pretty deep stuff. But anyway, we'll make it through. All right, let's see, did I do 7 and 8? Okay. Now, 1 through 3, this is God's revelation to John, backing up again, the beginning of the book of Revelation is God's revelation to John. He's warning the churches. We had these seven churches. And he's warning them. And God's revelation to John of the last days begins with chapter 1, where God describes and introduces himself. And John sees Jesus in a way he's never seen him before. And he has this vision. And then in 2 and 3, he's got this message to these seven churches. And I've already gone through that. But in 2 of those, there was no condemnation. The other 5, there was condemnation. And I'll share details with you on that since I lived in the middle of those churches for a year and a half in the Air Force. So the Lord is warning certain first century churches to listen to him. And Jesus says over and over, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the thing about it is the messages apply to us too. And some have put these seven churches into seven church ages. The last one being Laodicea, being the lukewarm. And God is just going to spew that church out of their mouth. So these two chapters, 2 and 3, describe the seven churches in Asia Minor. And he's warning them. And the churches were real. They existed. They were representative. There were many churches in that area. And like I shared last night, Ephesus being a major city in that part of the world with like 25 million people around, the gospel did a lot of good in that area. There are a lot of churches. But then as these churches would begin to let down, become worldly, then they begin to lose it, just like our country. Based on the Bible, our Constitution, what they say, 85% of it come as a basis from the Word of God. And so these churches were real, and the messages for them are for us too. All right. If you think I'm moving fast, I am. So now we have the preparation for the tribulation in the throne room of God, 4 and 5. Now, if you've got your Bible, chapter 4, John receives another vision. I might just read a few verses. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So this is the point of what we call the rapture, the striped towel, where if the church is taken out at this part and point, and many believe, come up hither, is saying the church is raptured and taken out, and then we go through these 7 years from the striped towel all the way over to the brand towel. So now he's going to get a vision of these things, but he's going to start off with seeing God. Always good to start with God, isn't it? And so he gets this revelation, verse 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting and clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And I took you back to Isaiah 11, 2 and 3, where the spirit of Christ has a 7-fold ministry of it, of him. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It's a vision of God on the throne, but yet the reference to Christ many times is he was and he is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's chapter 4, surrounded by these 24 elders, the angelic beings and the 24 elders, and they're praising and worshiping God. Who are the 24 elders? Well, there's been different views on it. One of them is that they represent the church, 24 representatives of the church. Some have said they could be 12 from the church and 12 the 12 apostles. I don't know. It's just conjecture and guessing on that point. But there's lots of detail in there, and as I'm not going through on a detail scale, we'll keep moving to chapter 5 now. And this is, as was termed, a dramatic, unfulfilled call for one who is worthy to open the seals. Who's going to open up these seals, these judgments, and let them go? Who is worthy to do that? Well, Jesus is. And so he starts. And I saw in 5:1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, who's on the throne? God. And in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the right hand, we went through that last night, represent the authority and the power to do that. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. By the way, I'll go back into this again. It's really fun if you will go, like, just take one subject. Who is to be worshipped? Well, only God is to be worshipped. But you go through here and you'll find Jesus Christ is worshipped. And you go other places in the Bible. When Christ came into the world, God told all the angels to worship him. Only God is to be worshipped. Christ was worshipped. And even in the, as I mentioned last night, in the temptation, when Satan was tempting him, Jesus told the devil, you shouldn't tempt God. Who was he tempting? He was tempting Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm God. It's not a good thing to tempt God, and we shouldn't tempt him either. So, 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, prostrating, worshiping, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. By the way, another bunny trail. Prayer is very, very important. Why churches have stopped their prayer meeting, I have no idea. If you're going to stop a meeting, as I said last night, that should be the last one that you should be forced to stop. Because that's the vital life of a church, is your prayer. Your prayers go up and God operates according to our prayers. Even he told one guy, according to your prayers, be it unto you. And he was healed. The prayer of faith. And these prayers are going up. And there's another place in here where it mentions the importance of the prayers from the saints. But these guys are praying up there. And what's Jesus doing? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's been doing that ever since. And if he quit praying, we'd be in trouble. Because we need the prayer. Back down in Louisiana where I was raised, there was a chaplain, they call him the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Bad world down there in New Orleans. Anyway, he said, he talked about prayer and praying for him. And he said, you pray for me. I need the prayer and you need to practice. So we need to keep praying. Pray without ceasing. You pray about everything. You get up in the morning, you should pray about your day. I've learned whatever I don't pray about, I'm accountable for. But whatever I will give to God in prayer and say, just this, 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 then I've given it to him. The early church was born in prayer, lived in prayer, thrived in prayer, and operated by prayer. The churches today, we got different programs. We can operate without prayer. We operate without the power of God and without the Holy Spirit leading us and working. We got the root fruits of that too. So we got to have our, what I call, prop up programs. We got to have guys come in to try to give us some kind of idea to get more people in the church. We're not making disciples. We're making a mess. Just bringing in more of the world, and then they've got to entertain them once they get them in. And then while they're in there, they're going to try to beg for more money to keep the whole deal going. It's a mess. When I used to travel around the country a little bit more than I do now, and I'd fly in here when I was working in revival ministry for a couple, 3 years, I did this. I would get these two questions asked me all the time. I began to put it together. Hey, I've heard this before. Oh, yeah, I've heard this before. The pastors would ask me these two questions. How big is your church? How big is your church? And what school did you go to? They're categorizing. These guys in these cemeteries and these Bible schools and whatever are programmed for numbers, not making disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He's also commanded us that we would be a witness. That Greek word is actually the word for be a martyr, if necessary, just be a witness. So we're not making disciples. And we got these big programs and whatever. I'm not condemning everything that goes on, but we've just have been programmed and we accept this. So how big is your church, Timothy? He said, he don't have a church. He don't want it. This is the Lord's. And what school you go to. So, and I've done this with guys too, because they understand what kind of camp you're in. And some of them want fellowship with you if you have an association with somebody that went to another camp that you don't like. It gets to be bad stuff that goes on. Anyway, it was just something I picked up. But we wasn't going into these churches unless they were desperate for revival. I was working with an evangelist, and he was getting invitations all over, and I was going in and sort of checking things out, be a few days, sometimes a week or whatever. And he wouldn't go there unless they were desperate Are you desperate for God? God could do something in our country to make the church desperate for Christ and weed out a lot of the stuff that's going on. So, where did I leave off? That was a long bunny trail. What verse? I'll just jump in again. In 9, yeah, the prayer of the saints in 8. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. I'm not going to go through every chapter like I'm doing this, but I don't want to miss these two chapters because they're focused on God, they're focused on the Lord. Okay, do 9 again. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Jesus was worthy to take this book that's got all these seals, these judgments in, and he's going to open them and let them go. To open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now get your calculator out and blow it up. It just won't work. Just a bunch. 13. And every creature... Let's see, did I do 12? Saying, 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, to me, it'd be fun to go through these two chapters and go into all the detail, which I brought my notes with me. If you want to stay here for a few days, we could do that. And also, we're going to be back up in the area in June. If you want me to continue on in Revelation and give you details, I can do it. Not necessarily something that, ever since revival back in 85, I shifted from prophecy to the cross. Because all of this knowledge and things, it doesn't help you that much in your walk. It helps you to know some things. But the thing that helps you the most is to understand the crucified life. There's so many that are struggling and just having a hard time being Christians, and they don't understand the crucified life. Your life ends and Jesus begins his life through you. And it's a hard concept to get. Because we have this struggle with this person that lives inside of us. Now I was raised in the South, and down in the area where I was, we got what we call Cajuns. These French wild guys down there. And we have Boudreaux and Thibodeau. And they live in the swamps. And old Boudreaux, I'm going to use him for an illustration. He is a representative of the old man that lives inside of us. He likes to go fishing without the fishing license. And Thibodeau, he would represent the Holy Spirit. He's always trying to catch Boudreaux and get him straightened out. And Boudreaux always ended up in jail and getting caught. He's just untamable. And that's the old man. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit to direct us and to keep us and help us so the old Boudreaux doesn't destroy us. By the way, the old Boudreaux lived in the very core of the being of Job, and Job didn't know it. But Jesus, or God, Jesus and God working, helped Job see that Boudreaux was in there. And he said, he had a name for him. He said, I am vile. This old man that lives inside of us is vile. It's wicked. And you can't tame it. So God gives us something to overcome. And that is at the cross when Christ died, was buried, and rose again. He sent the Holy Spirit when we trust him as Savior. And he can help us conquer the old Boudreaux that lives in them. Nothing extra for that side show. Bunny trails. All right. I forget where I leave off. We'll start off in 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Okay, the calculator. destroyer. 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Do you notice how worthy he is? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say in blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And if you go through these things, you'll find out they're both on the throne together. Not two different thrones. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Worshiping Christ. Okay, so you have the four angelic beings, the 24 elders, 8 through 1. And so you have this call for a worthy one to open up the seal, and you have the presentation of Jesus as the Lamb of God. That was 5 through 7, going back through the overview on this. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one that is worthy. He's the one that died on the cross to save your soul, to save me. And so he appears as a slain lamb, slain before the foundation of the world, Isaiah 53. And emphasizes that his death is a sacrifice for our sins, shows his worthiness. He's the worthy one to be the judge. He's the worthy one to be the Lord. He came as a lamb, but now he's going to come and he's going to be a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you have this celebration of the worthiness of the lamb in 8 through 14 there as we went through that. As they worship God and they worship the Father, they're both seem to be one. And this shows that God is in control. He's in control of this part of the plan and what's about to take place in these judgments. God is in control. So now when you get to chapter 6, we got the judgments of the tribulation period sent by God upon the earth, 6 through 18. So then we have the striped towel all the way to the brown, which we now are going to go into that area. That's 7 years, and there's a break in the middle of 3.5 years. So 6 through 18 describes the tribulation period, which consists of three sets of judgments. How many sets of judgments? Three. What's the name of them? Seals, trumpets, and the bowls. Right. Don't remember that one. Maybe an exam at the end. You don't want to flunk church. So, okay. Anyway, it really would be good if we had some visual up here that I could put it on the screen. That would have been neat, but I'm an old guy. I'm low-tech. You know, I can turn my phone on. But, you know, we've got 2-year-old grandkids that can run the whole thing. I mean, a little, they'll come into my room and they want my iPad. What do you want it for? How old are you? 2. What are you going to do? Don't ask. Anyway, here we go. Chapter 6 through 18, this tribulation period. These three sets of judgments symbolized by seals. I won't go back into again about the how he uses all this. I will say some things as we go through here about the typology and the type of stuff. I mean, God could have been describing drones to John. I mean, you got things, you got fire coming out the front and the back, some kind of modern, even things we haven't even imagined. The things that are going on out in this tech world would scare you to death. I've learned a few of those things. I mean, sitting, like I said, with this guy that worked on drones, and when I'm coming back from California, and they got them the size of a fly, they'll look like a bird. And these things can take you out. They can kill you. With the facial recognition going on, China is working on having it to where everybody in the whole country will be recognized. And so one guy on Prophecy Watchers, he was over, he went into China, and he said, how long would it take you to find me? He took off, they had him in 5 minutes, and millions of people. In 5 minutes, they had him. And the police come around there to grab him and everything. He was just testing out their system. What are we going to do in days like that? You're going to do in days like that what you're doing in days like this. If you're not rejoicing today in the Lord and living in victory, you won't live in victory and rejoice in days. Because the tribulation time, the hard stuff could start before the rapture. We could be seeing pre-Antichrist days. Matter of fact, I had this book written over 120 years ago titled Antichrist and Anti-Christianity. It's like he was writing it today. He was just going in scriptures. So, 6 through 18, it's going to get into the details of this. And many believers, you see, you want to get saved before the striped towel, before the tribulation period ends. Because if you get saved after that, you're going to be given, at a certain point, the option to get a mark in your head or in your hand. And if you don't, you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to buy gas or groceries or whatever. If you become a believer, whoever takes that mark will go to hell. There won't be any other option. If you take the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, you will go to hell. And so the time to get saved is before Jesus comes. When's Jesus going to come? He could come in 30 seconds. The true believers would be gone. And if you're left sitting here, I would be scared. This is scary stuff. So, this describes the tribulation period with these seals, these trumpets, and these bold judgments. And also, this is a time of purification for Israel, because God is going to be bringing the program back together. He set them aside for 2,000 years. They crucified their own Messiah. Of course, they used Rome and everything. But Jesus did everything he could to present himself as the Messiah. But he came in a way they didn't think he would come. They thought he was going to come in and set up a military kingdom, a political kingdom, and kick out Rome and everything like that. This is the way God is. He comes in a way many times that we don't expect him to come. He works in our life many days in a way we don't expect him to come. I was just talking with Brother Brad, was it? Here he's doing something. He has a degree in art. He's driving a truck for FedEx, but he's in God's plan. It wasn't my plan to be a preacher. And I've told you this before. When God came and he wanted me to preach, I went down this whole list of why he had the wrong guy. You know, starting with, I'm dumb. I can't remember. I can't speak in front of a crowd. And all these other things. I'm a zero. And God says, it's just what I want. And many times he has to reduce people to a zero before he can begin to work through their life. Because what we like to do is we like to get the credit for ourselves. So Moses needed 40 more years of undoing. He knew that he was supposed to be used. But so when he goes out, you're going to kill these Egyptians off one at a time. And we get ourselves in trouble. And so what's God wanting to do in your life? He's wanting to be the Lord. He's wanting to be the boss. And so when he brings things into our life, when we complain, we don't like this or that, he's going to continue on. He's trying to fix you with the fix that you're in. But if you try to fix the fix that he's fixing to fix you with, he'll find another fix to fix you with. He won't give up. He won't give up. I ought to patent that. You can make some money off of that one. Where are you at? I hope you're ready to go, because when Jesus comes, it's not going to be fun to go into this tribulation period. And one of the other views believes that we're going to go into the first half of the tribulation. Well, I'm pulling for the first flight out, but if that don't work, I sure hope the second one works, because God's going to be judging. But from the middle of the tribulation on, it's going to be a horrible time for everybody. My dentist, who just retired because he was not going to take the vaccine, so he went ahead and sold his business just in case. because he had somebody who wanted to buy it, but he believes we're going to go all the way through. I sure hope he's wrong. It's just, and I've got study on it and some notes and things where we could go into that. So this is a time of purification for Israel, because when you get in right after chapter 6, you got chapter 7 with the tribulation in the middle of it. You got the chapter 7 is 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And I believe in Jewish evangelism. I believe in supporting ministries that reach out to the Jews, because I believe we could be investing in the 144,000 that are going to get saved. You see, these guys are going to get it figured out after the rapture. They're going to begin to see, oh, but at the end of the tribulation period, when Christ comes back down and he sees those wounds in his hands, they're going to mourn as a nation when they realize that was their Messiah. And I've got Jewish friends that have trusted Christ as their Savior. So many believers in Christ will come out of the tribulation. They'll get saved. A lot of them are going to be killed. But for Israel, it's a purification. And so the first six seals are opened and God's judgment begins. And then in chapter 6, in 7 and 8, I will continue on after we maybe take a break. Are you confused? I am. Not totally. Let's pray. Lord, this is heavy stuff. It is really something to think that all of a sudden we could just disappear. It just seems unreal. We carry on. We get up in the morning. I've come this far even into the day without stopping to really think. You could have come this morning. So help us to realize to be ready to get any undone business we need to get done with a brother, a relative, a sister, where we've had some disagreements and are something we've stole or something that's not right. It'd be better for us to do it here than to wait until the judgment seat of Christ when you judge us during the tribulation up in heaven. So Lord, help us to grasp and sort of get a hold of some of this. At least help us to understand that you could come and we need to be ready. And also that there are souls out here that need Christ. And we're so self-focused and self-oriented many times we don't